This is September the 24th, 2019. It's time at 6 p.m. This is the time set for the Planning Commission work session agenda. Would you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number one, anybody have a conflict they wish to declare? Oh, I'm going to put it another way. Does anyone have a conflict they should declare? There being none, we'll move on to item number two, and that is the approval of the August 27th, 2019 work session minutes. Is there a motion?
I make a motion that we approve.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Being nay, those minutes are approved. We move on to item number three, and this is a continuing discussion of screening requirements. Mr. Parkinson, you're going to lead us in this, please?
I thought you were.
Some people are wrong half of the time.
Well, again, this is just a continuation of, and last time when we talked, the commission kind of directed me of where to look, and kind of look at Clinton cities and kind of make up some verbiage. So within it was just, again, I didn't want to have 19 different groups and try to figure out how, you know, Clinton did all that. To me, it was just, okay, commercial to residential, so it doesn't matter if you're RC or CC or BP, or manufacturing, this is kind of what you're going to be looking at. And again, I just threw out some numbers, threw out some options, threw out some things so that you guys could at least have a starting point and go to what you wanted to do. So we looked at, you know, setbacks right now between commercial and residential is 20 feet or 1 foot for every height of the building. So I thought, okay, let's start at that, but have the fences being vinyl, so a 6 foot vinyl fence at 20 feet. Well, what happens, why, if we do a masonry fence, could it be shorter? So that's why I came up with 15. So if the developer would have an option of these four to put his setbacks at. If it was 15 feet he chose, then it could be a 6 foot masonry fence. Now again, with what Clinton had is they had certain numbers of trees, whether it be tall ones, short ones, evergreens, and shrubs. So again, I went through their chart and said, okay, what is the normal residential to commercial? And theirs was more buffer G, so I kind of took a look at that, looked at their numbers, modified them a little bit. So per 100 feet, so if you have 200 feet of space in between residential and you, so this would be the two whole two, but you just kind of calculate it as one. So every 100 feet, you're going to have 2.5 trees, four understory trees, and canopies is more the tall, you know, you're going to get a 40-foot tree that's going to be a 40-foot round. Mm-hmm. An understory tree is going to maybe get 20 feet tall, but you have kind of some height and some distance, so you have, again, separation physically rather than horizontally. Evergreen trees, I don't think I need to describe what those are, and then shrubs.
No question.
Uh-huh.
So these trees, are they going to mature, or how are they going to plant them? Or
well, like when they plant them, they're going to be small.
So yeah. They're not going to put larger ones in?
No, I mean, that would be okay. Astronomical in cost.
Yeah, I just had to ask. It's Clinton.
Yeah, Clinton has, you know, a canopy tree to begin has to be 2.5 inches in caliper at the base of the tree. An understory is an inch and a half, and evergreen's 5 feet tall. Of course, it's going to mature, so you've got some time there. Shrubs is anything, you know, from a rose bush to however they want to describe it. But the multiplier is really where it comes in. So my thought was, if you're 15 feet with a masonry fence, a shrub really isn't going to do much for the neighbors.
No.
The masonry fence is already taken care of 6 feet. So that's why, to me, it was, I'd multiply the number of shrubs by half. So if I have a masonry fence, you're going to have half the number of shrubs just because, again, it's not going to give you much. So you're going to have more canopy trees, understory trees, and evergreen trees than you would shrubs. And then the farther down you went, and again, I just put chain link, again, as just a starting point. We can amend that, take it away. But the thought was chain link, you'd have a large setback, but you would have, more requirement for shrubs. So that's why it's 1.25. So for every 100 feet, you're going to have 18 shrubs.
So just to make sure I'm understanding it correctly, the setback depth is, if the fence is on the property line, you have to be that far back from the property line.
Right, where the building would begin, and everything in between that's going to be landscaped.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to verify that.
So that's kind of what those numbers are. Again, my concern, if you have 30 feet in a chain link fence, and again, I'm not set on these type of fences, just had to have a starting point, that if I can see through it, and therefore I need more understory. That's Mr. Rock and Roll over here. Sorry. So more understory, not necessarily a lot of above, because the building's going to be a lot farther away. I mean, you're still going to have stuff, but not as many. So that's kind of where these examples come into play. So if you're 15 feet, this is kind of a landscaping that you would get. You'd get 2.5 large trees, 3 understory trees, 3 evergreens, and 2, 4, 6, 8, or 7.5 shrubs.
Is that kind of like what they've got on the south side of Walmart over there in Clinton?
Well, again,
those trees set back in, but
yeah, the way they had that ordinance for Walmart, Lowe's, and Kohl's.
Okay.
Walmart chose a 50-foot setback, so they have fewer trees.
Okay.
Lowe's, I did think, did a 20-25, and they have a lot more.
Okay.
So, again, that's kind of, this is just a representation of kind of what it would be. So 20 feet, you're getting 2.25 trees. But again, if it's 200 feet, you're going to probably have 4.5, which really means 5. So you kind of start getting thicker, but you're getting more space in between.
And the purpose of this is to be a buffer between the...
Correct.
So that noise and other things don't get into the residential.
Yeah, right now, you know, it says, say your building's 20 feet tall, you have a 20-foot setback, and it says a 10-foot landscape trip or strip, but what's our landscape requirements? There's nothing.
We don't have
it. It can be river rock, and does the resident do anything for the resident?
Yeah.
So does it matter if it's river rock or concrete at that point? Because you got a solid fence, you know, there's really nothing. So to me, it's like, well, let's have more of the upper above if I'm close, and down below if I'm farther away. So that's kind of where I went on the fencing for this. Again, I'm not married to any of this, but again, it's just a starting point going off of kind of what Clinton City's ordinance was. I found, let's see, how do I say this without being yelled at again by somebody about plagiarizing. Planning is all about, you know, seeing who's got what, and if it works good, why reinvent the wheel? So, Queen Creek, Arizona, they had 4 fencing types, and I kind of like it. I'll start at the bottom and then go up. So, fence living, basically just have a vegetation hedge or a fence where vegetation can grow on it. Obviously, that's got to mature before it becomes, you know, the height that you really want, but it's become a living hedge. Fence solid, again, it's just a solid wall fence. Then they have a partial view, which is 33%. So if you have a 6-foot fence, 4 feet is solid, 2 feet is open. And then the partial is 50% open, where it can be a 3-foot high fence with 3 feet open. That could be substituted, you know, chain link with slats, solid, what have you. So I kind of gave you some examples. Now, the tall one there, again, I'm not married to height. This is an 8-foot partial view, or the 33%, yeah, partial view. So you get a solid towards the end of a 6-foot solid, then you get a partial view of 8-foot, partial view of a 6, and then the view, which is 50% of 6-foot. This is a masonry wall, wrought iron on top. I did the same version with vinyl.
That's more aesthetic and pleasing to me, at least.
This?
Yeah.
Rather than that?
Rather. It looks like a fence for a prison. I mean, there's no...
Yeah, but those are pointed little barbs. And
okay. And electrified, so that people can draw over.
But again, Arizona, when I was talking with the planner, they don't do vinyl. Mm. At 120 degrees for 4 months, vinyl's just going to melt. And so all their fences are concrete.
Yeah.
Whether it be cinder block or what have you. So that's kind of where I took it off and then said, okay, well, what about a vinyl fence? And so that's kind of where I've taken it. I'm open for direction, what you think, what you don't think, what you like. Actually, if you don't think, then you don't tell me, because,
Well, do we have anywheres where we would be putting 8-foot fences or would want an 8-foot fence?
Well, speaking with the building official, the building code actually says you can go up to 7 feet. The new revision says 7 feet. Anything over 8, even a vinyl fence or a chain link, has to be engineered.
Okay.
So your costs for fence just go way up. So even if you change it and it could be a 15-foot setback at a 7-foot masonry wall, 20-foot at a 6-foot masonry or vinyl, giving them an option, or instead of chain link with slats, it could be a 6-foot partial view, those type of things. So it really comes down to what you guys would like.
That's what looks the best. That's what I'm trying to figure out, is what's going to be the
beauty is in the eyes of the beholder.
That's the problem, yeah.
Chain link, to me, serves its purpose.
Yeah.
Is there going to be, I'm just going through my head thinking, is there a place where an 8-foot fence, or even a 7-foot, a 6-foot fence.
It's typical.
A lot of kids can scale a 6-foot fence with no problem.
Well, if you can scale a 6, could you scale a 7?
I don't know.
It's not much bigger.
And that's why I was wondering whether an 8 would be.
But is that the purpose of the fence? Is to keep the kids out,
that becomes,
or to block the view of the neighbors? So that
I was going to say, if we did that, you'd want the top 2 feet to be, make it a partial view. But just throwing ideas out there.
Yeah.
I like what we've talked about before about giving more options to them. Then they can select what they want and do what they want that way.
Yeah. And I think that's what's appealing about Clinton Cities, is it does give you options.
Yeah.
This doesn't say this is the hardest setback, it has to be this. The developer can play with it.
Well, is there a difference with the different heights, with the requirements for, say, shrubs or the small stuff? So if it's a 6-foot fence, you're not going to see the shrubs on the other side of it anyway.
Yeah, that's why on like a 15-foot, you have fewer of the shrubs than when you go to a 6-foot fence that I can see through. We're getting a lot more.
I see what you're saying now. Yeah, I got you.
That was my thinking, is if we did a chain link fence at 30 feet, you're going to want stuff under here.
Right. Yes.
Or if it's 20 feet and a solid vinyl, I don't care what's going on
right
under here.
Yeah.
That's more for the developer and the commercial side.
Right.
It's the trees that are going to give that.
Well, the beauty of the options is that you're not going to have the same look all the way down the street.
Yeah.
You can have different looks. So this, I think that I like that better than a consistent appearance, because then it gets monotonous.
Well, and it could be on one side I do 15, the other side I do 25, because I've got more room.
And some of that will dictate the size of the lot and what they're trying to put on it.
But it'll all be their decisions. We're not requiring them to fit in a little.
Well, yeah, once they make a decision on the depth, then everything's out of their hands.
That's theirs.
Yeah. You know, that's where we come in and say, okay. Now, the only sad part is I now become a tree counter when they finally do in their landscaping, but, you know, that's the give and take.
That's the first step in becoming a tree hugger.
I forgot. What was her name, the planning commissioner that loved trees that left?
Oh, yeah,
what's her name?
Oline?
Yeah. No, it was the other one. She was upset with
Jeannie?
Yes. Yes. She came in for the North Park
one. Yeah, North Park church there.
I only have one thing I would like for us to see, and that is to require that if there's a stop sign or a yield sign around any of this, that they can't put anything larger than a shrub within 15 feet. Yeah.
Well, that's already.
It's already there?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
What about?
Evidently not in Clinton, because I almost always run the stop sign. it's
there too, because that's a public safety issue, so.
Yeah.
You can't block it.
Signs. Okay.
It doesn't mean it doesn't occur. They just have to go.
Enforcement issue.
Yes.
Okay.
Is there anything in place for if a neighboring resident had solar panels on the roof and putting trees up and blocking the sunlight? I mean, yeah, some of those people are spending some pretty good money to.
Well, it comes down to if I was a single family home and I put up a 40-foot tree and it blocked you, do you have
any say?
Lots of luck.
Yeah, it comes down to, you know, property rights, and you can do with what your property.
It's the same kind of issue we have with it. You're blocking my view if you let them build that 30-foot building.
Can't build a 4-story structure because you're blocking my view. Well, you didn't own the view because you didn't own that property.
Mm-hmm. I like what you've done here.
Yeah, I think I like the mason and vinyl options, especially with the varying heights and being able to see through, because that would also limit construction costs instead of being solid. Mm-hmm. Do that as well. The only thing I would say is maybe, since most people don't like chain link, maybe we just say the only time you can have chain link is at the 30-foot setback. Take it off as a 25 and just say masonry or vinyl from 15 to 25.
Well, do you want to chain link? Kind of look at that.
Partial view at the
25. The partial view. So at 25 feet, you can do a 6-foot fence, 4 of it has to be solid, and 2 could be open, rather than chain link with slats or the half. 50%, or it could be instead of chain link.
Well, I was just saying, like, in terms of also, you know, construction costs, if you have enough for a 30-foot setback, you know, it might help them to just say, hey, we got a chain link fence, you know, 6 foot all the way through, but anything 25 or less, we start getting into the partials or the full. Yeah, just my thought.
That's what I'm here to get is your guys'.
Is your experience that a lot of developers would like to put up chain link? Simply.
Well,
it depends on what they're planning on putting there.
It depends on the developer.
Okay.
Some will put the
cheapest thing they
can. The cheapest thing. Some will put the best product.
Okay. Orange construction.
Again, there are probably more of the first than the latter. You know, if I can get away with a chain link fence, I'm going to do a chain link fence because the cost is so much less.
Mm-hmm. But if you're a developer, you're going to want to. You want as much room to build there,
right?
So
in some cases, the developer, I'm seeing in one in particular, he wants more of his product to look good because he wants it to last a long time, right. And a better product brings in better, I hate to say it, better people, but
right.
Better tenants, better things. So, you know, he would probably say, I'd rather have a masonry wall than a chain link. Just because, you know, his thoughts, but most would probably chain link 30 foot.
Yeah, that's why I've said, like, the masonry and vinyl are available at any setback they want, but the chain link only would kick in at the 30.
I like that.
So then that way they still have their options, you know.
Yeah, we're not prohibiting the chain link, but if you do, you have to have this easement, the setback, I mean.
And then you get, you know, all the extra, the shrubs and the trees and all that other stuff. If you see it through the chain link, it's not like.
Because there's more trees and shrubs and whatnot in the way.
Exactly, yeah. It's not as.
I'm not on board with that.
Yeah.
To him, not me.
Up to him?
Yep.
Okay, so I love everything that you guys are saying, and so just so everybody...
For the record, who are you and where do you live?
My name is Scott Eames.
Okay.
And my granddad built a house just around the corner from here in 1946. And I love to find distressed properties in Roy and remodel them and make Roy beautiful because
okay.
I love Roy City.
Okay.
Okay. So I love all of this, and I love the setbacks and the different options. And I just keep coming to mind as one project in particular that driving down 5600, and it looks like Ivory Homes complied with all the setbacks. And I think they've got about an 8-foot setback.
They did.
But it looks horrible.
Nobody's
nobody's maintaining it. So all of this is great on paper, but who is going to hold them accountable for making it stay beautiful?
Don't they have an HOA over there?
They do.
Right?
Yeah, that's a residential.
That's the reason I'm saying
is that this is commercial.
This is commercial.
Yeah, but at the same time.
But it's still the same kind of point.
If nobody, I'm driving down 5600, and I'm just like, you know, when they first put that in and all the setbacks and everything were there and everything looked beautiful because they put all these new plants and new trees and new shrubs and everything was beautiful and they got that nice wall there. But now you drive down 5600 and you're like...
Because the neighbors right now want to disband the HOA. They want to get rid of it because they don't want to take care of it anymore. So I think they've turned off the water. Our code enforcement officer's currently going after them to
do stuff about it. The city... remove the plants.
And the city has said no.
And
we're not taking care of it.
And so when I hear 25 and 30 foot setbacks, as beautiful as it can be, which by the way, I think that George Whalen Park is awesome with what's happened over there, that when I see 25 and 30 foot setbacks, I think, okay, that's more room for more weeds. Who's going to hold them accountable to make sure that those weeds don't grow?
It falls underneath the community development and code enforcement.
Okay.
Hmm?
How many code enforcement officers do I have?
One.
It's your okay.
No, I'm not.
Free counter.
President of the HOA of Ivory over
here. No, I'm okay. Mike Story is code enforcement officer.
Okay.
Of that development?
No, of the one that took 6,000 and 3,500. The one that maintains its property front.
Okay, thank you.
Wow.
Well, in most cases in the commercial owner is going to keep it up or it looks like crap and he's losing value of his property, so.
Yeah.
And all ordinances fall under regulations and enforcement, so.
It hurts everyone's value once, you know, it's not looking too good.
I can't charge as much rent if my place looks like garbage.
Yeah.
Or my tenants start leaving because it looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since there's so many new ones.
The good thing, though, is because site plan review has to come to Planning Commission, the Planning Commission approves it, we can hold them a little bit more accountable. Mm. You're supposed to have 5 trees and one has died, go out there and plant a new one, or I'm going to revoke your business license, or I'm going to revoke something. So.
Let me ask a couple questions. I'm asking you to state your name again because we record this and somebody transcribes it.
Sure.
Okay.
Scott Eames.
Eames, okay. E-A-M-S?
E-A-M-E-S.
Yes, okay.
Okay, and I'm a local business owner. I own 2 businesses in the city of Roy as well. So I want to continue to develop. Steve knows I've been in multiple times to have conversations with him.
Good on you.
I want to continue to develop Roy because I have a special place in my heart for Roy City. And I know how grand the city can be compared with other cities and what they're doing.
Okay, since you're kind of in the business of these kinds of things that we've talked about here, what do you like and what do you don't like, or what do you think
the
property owners would like?
I love the fact that I have 4 different options.
Yes.
I love the fact that I have 4 different options because you can't always slice and dice a parcel to exact specifications of a city and still make multifamily work. We had this conversation yesterday. Okay, we can't make it work. Okay, we want to be able to say, okay, I have 4 options. Okay, if I set the property back this far, if my setbacks will allow me to, I can build this many, right? I can build this many units here, but still have this nice area out front. If I can get it off 1900, a little bit. Because if I could have a 30-foot setback on 1900 and still have enough parking and still be able to build the building I want, then great, because that puts my residence further off 1900.
Yes.
Right?
I understand.
Yeah, but if I'm 15 feet off of 1900, that limits me. Then I need a sound wall, so to speak, or a concrete wall, to limit the sound coming through my bottom units.
So as a developer, you like flexibility?
Yes, I love the flexibility of this. And I think Steve's done a great job of
and that's two compliments he's got tonight. It'll go to his head, so we got to stop.
Don't worry, I'll get an email tomorrow. I'll be all down the hill.
Well, and I guess that's a question for any kind of, you know, property or whatnot. Is it being maintained? Is it being upkept the way it's supposed to be done? Are we going to be holding them accountable for it? Well, otherwise, we end up with, a big weed field.
Well, and that's not so much of an issue for us as it is the city council and being able to staff enough people to enforce the code. I mean, that's what it amounts to.
But again, you know, we'll pick on Clinton since we are. The difference between the old Albertsons development, the Walmart development, and Lowe's and Kohl's. Different developers, different mindsets.
Yeah.
But if you go to Lowe's and Kohl's, I don't know if you'd go there very often, but
daily.
I mean, there's hundreds of trees and hundreds of shrubs, and that's just the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he cared about what he was doing.
Yeah.
Where others was like, I'm going to do as cheap as possible, as little as possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody else got anything about that?
So,
Steve?
Not necessarily chain links with slats, but the partial view, more of the 33%.
Yeah, I like that.
So the.
I like that.
Yeah. I like them having options, you know.
Okay. Do you like the numbers of shrubs, trees, and stuff? You want me to up them, lower them?
Have no idea.
That's hard to tell by.
I have no idea. But there's nothing to prohibit us 6 months or 8 months or
changing
whatever
it, right?
Down the road, and you're getting comments or whatnot, and you come back to us and say, hey, that's too many trees or that's too few.
Take
or whatever.
Take a trip to Clinton again.
Yeah.
Or the, it's a Chinese restaurant. Panda Express.
Panda.
Mm-hmm. Look on the west side of their property.
West side, okay.
Yeah.
Behind the drive-in.
Okay.
But I think with what you have is a good starting point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Instead of shrubs, can we insert like thorny plants?
I'm just going to leave shrubs up to the developer, really.
Flexibility.
Plant development. Blackberry.
You want stuff that's going to be
marijuana.
Fruit berry.
that's going to grow and thrive in Utah. And we can define what these are, certain trees, certain types, or just say it has to be when you plant it this big.
So how about drought tolerance, since we do live in a desert?
Again, that's up to the developer. Most will do that.
Yeah.
If they can, they'll get rid of the sod and do river rock or boulders, but then plant the trees. And
especially if they're sourcing the plants locally, they typically locally, the places around here will stock what will grow here typically.
Good.
Yeah.
So I think we're good.
That's good.
Okay.
All right.
I'm going to bring back stuff or bring it in as a public hearing.
I know you said something, but I was on vacation.
Do you want me to bring it back and re-review it, or bring it in as a public hearing?
I think we can move on.
I think I'm fine with public hearing.
I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think let's get it out there, and we've got to start somewhere.
Well,
and this, I like what you've done.
Okay.
Let's just bypass public hearing.
And if you're going to get some other developers in the public hearing, we would like to.
Why not?
You know, I have that capacity.
Okay, we'll put it on a public hearing, and then we'll try to get a crowd and talk about it.
Okay, again, last time brought up a concern that was brought to my attention in an email of parking and storing of RVs. Again, this is on private single-family home or residential property. Your current code is as such. You can have two vehicles, RVs, not to exceed 48 hours and owned by the property owner. This is probably a violation everywhere because they have them on their property and longer than 48 hours.
Yep.
So we haven't really done much because, again, times have changed and from when this ordinance was written, and everybody's got a boat or a trailer of some sort or a motor home.
All of the above.
Or all of the above, and then plus some. I know one guy with 27, but anyway.
Okay, not mine here.
So the thought was, from the Planning Commission, is again, do we care how many you have as long as it's done legally?
Park on
a gray. You know, currently you have to be parked on either weed-free gravel, asphalt, or concrete. So some of the language we could change it to, again, just keep the, instead of outside storage limited, of course you're going to,
it's going to be
outside. If I get my boat in a garage, do you care anymore? No. So to me, it's just storage of recreational vehicles.
So I can park on a grave?
Yeah, it's a good use of the cemetery.
Yes, please.
You know.
It'd be gravel, so.
That would be quite a sidewalk for a cemetery, wouldn't it?
That would cause a...
That's why I have seven more eyes on this thing.
Multi-use of cemetery.
It's spelled correctly, so I wouldn't get a spell check problem. But some of the concerns was, okay, they park it on asphalt or concrete or whatever, but not to block access to your legal required parking, which in most cases is everybody's garage. Because you see people's RVs and stuff parked in front. Now, the garage really isn't being utilized as it's supposed to be. So the thought was, it couldn't be any closer than 5 feet from the front property line. So again, we're moving it back. Can't be parked in or block access to the required parking areas. And then all RVs parked on property. And this last one is very similar to the last line of the old code, owned by property owner.
What's the purpose of requiring that it be owned by the property owner?
Well, I've had one person come to me in the last week saying, yeah, I'd like to put my back 40 in gravel and rent that out to people to park on.
And he's not zoned for it.
But again, if you don't have the caveat that they're all owned by you, you say that I don't have all of your trailers on my property.
And I don't have one this safe.
And I'm renting my space to you to park it on.
That's what we say in the ordinance. We say that you cannot use it as a commercial law.
Hence, I'm just saying, because I'm not changing the code.
No, I...
Owned by property owner, just all RVs parked on property.
I have a problem. You can't prove... My neighbor happens to be one of those people with multiples. And you approved a nice shed for him this week that's 20-something feet high.
Can't be blocking your view.
Well, it's blocked my view.
Okay. Can't be telling 25, so.
Yes, but anyhow.
23 point something.
Yes. It looks like a barn going up out there. It's big. Anyhow, but he's going to get all of his vehicles and put them in the shed, and so it's going to be an improvement, okay, for me. How do you prove whether they own the vehicle or not?
Well, if we get a complaint...
Okay, I complain. John's got vehicles.
Michael will go by, take pictures of your license plates.
I know, he doesn't have a license plate on the front, and it's parked back up against the garage.
No.
You're not going to send a court enforcement officer on his property.
It's always an issue.
Okay. I would rather, and I don't know what the language is because I just thought about it. I'd rather say that you cannot use a private residence, or however how we want to phrase it, and to store vehicles for a fee or for rental or whatever it is, and prohibit the act that we're really looking at.
Well, I mean, you're the attorney, I'm not. So I don't know if what I've got written there...
We always go back to that.
Okay. ...suffices the language that you can't park somebody else's trailer on your property.
I'm not your attorney, so ask your attorney, our attorney.
Well, the other side of that is how many parents have got their kids...
Their kids, okay. I've had my brother-in-law, and I'm in violation.
That wouldn't shouldn't be a violation because if they're not charging them.
No.
Yeah, and that wouldn't be a violation, and I don't know if that's a problem. Okay, I mean, I really don't know what that was. I don't know what you said, huh?
Under current code, it is.
Yes, under current code.
I didn't want to change it, so.
Okay, well, I got to think about that.
Well, the only thing you can change is then parked on the property must be owned and say only used by the property owner. Because then they couldn't stick someone else in there, I guess.
What we're trying to prohibit is the commercial use of a family residence. Isn't that the bottom line?
Yeah.
We have a
question.
James.
So there's a lot of rentals in Roy. People that rent houses also have RVs.
They don't own the property.
They don't own the property.
They're
The good landlord program requires certain things for that property in order to exist, so.
But the good landlord program isn't required.
It is what?
It isn't required, is it? I mean, they get a discount if they
no.
If they participate.
But you're still under the same ordinances.
Yeah. Which all I'm saying is you could just do a modification to the verbiage that all RVs parked on the property must be owned by the property owner or current lessee.
That would fix that problem.
Yeah.
That would fix that problem. Okay.
Now you do run into a problem with current lessee because then they could create their own rental agreements.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
We're not fixing everything.
We just had to add another bullet that said.
But there's a lot of rental properties that have RV parking.
RVs can.
We also have a
be rented out.
A property, and I can't remember if it's on 4,000 or where not, wherever. There was a subdivision, and a lot of them owned RVs. They bought a piece of property, they fenced it off, and they all park on...
That was one of the amenities to the project.
And that's, and that's a sign.
They have a community swimming pool and a community outdoor storage facility.
Are they in violation?
No.
Why?
Because when the project was approved, that was approved with it. They're grandfathered in, so it doesn't matter what current ordinances have now.
So if you're collecting money for storing RVs or whatever on your property, aren't you a business?
Mm-hmm.
Then don't you have to have a business license?
Mm-hmm.
And then doesn't it have to be approved through the city?
Uh-huh.
So then
you can't do it.
So you can't do it. So you don't have to put that in there.
But that doesn't mean that I'm not doing it.
Well, I know, but
if we
want to enforce it, then we can.
I'm not. Is that really that big an issue?
I don't think it is.
The big one for me is just not parking your RV out so I can't see what's coming down the road, or kids can't see so that you've got a hazard.
Well, and you do want to...
And there's not weeds under it. Right. I mean, the gravel thing and stuff, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, it says weed-free gravel.
Yeah.
You can park on the gravel.
Or on the street parking, because that's an issue for several neighbors of mine, that when they're trying to back out of their driveway, they're coming close to hitting their neighbors.
That is out of the zoning ordinance.
That's not us.
It's not part of our purview.
But is there anything in there that we need to state somehow that, I mean, if you got five snowmobiles in my backyard and only one of them works, is there a...
That's a problem between you and the wife,
And that's not my case, but I'm just...
As long as it's parked where it's supposed to be, do I care if it works or not?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm trying to always say, do I really care? You know, mm-hmm. I had someone ask me, can I do it as an Airbnb? And to my opinion, and others have different ones, it's, am I renting it for a day, for a month, for a year? Or 10 years, is it still not a single family home? So do I care? I don't.
Mm-hmm. So your recommendation is that we go ahead and use that proposal?
Well, again, I'm not married to anything.
Okay.
I can change the language. I can ask Andy if he can think of something different to put on that last bullet.
If you do that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay.
Otherwise, let's go with it. If Andy doesn't have a problem, I don't.
Yeah.
Once again, we could always change it later if it's a problem, but
it's just Taurus.
Well, it'll be an improvement to this.
Yes.
This is big. It didn't turn out well.
And I couldn't tell you when this came into effect, why it's in effect. It's been there since at least 2004.
Okay.
And the recreational vehicles, that's a catch-all for anything like ATVs, motorbikes, dirt bikes, everything, right? Okay. Because it says homes, boats, caravans, or trailers, and I'm thinking...
Or similar.
Or similar.
It's like my motorcycle is not similar to a trailer or a boat, so it doesn't apply.
Your motorcycle is a motorcycle, not a recreational vehicle by this definition.
It's a dirt bike.
But...
It's not similar.
Okay.
You have a lawyer, what do you think? Do I got a case?
It depends if you pay me my fee.
Yes.
Which side do you want?
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else got anything to say? Okay, let's go on to discussion.
I got another meeting to go to.
Thank you for being here tonight. Let's go on to discussion of the form-based code.
Okay, there's my presentation.
Approved. Second.
It's more of what questions do you have, what concerns do you have? Can I...
How soon can we start?
The form-based code is so different than what we're accustomed to.
Yes.
And when it comes right down to it, the general public's going to probably want to know what the, what the, I won't say the word, but the units per acre, the density is allowed on. Has anybody sat down and figured, taken an example and
no,
worked in everything?
Again, and in most cases, at least the way form-based code is written, is under current codes, Euclidean is what they call them, you're worried more about the use than what it looks like. So the use is the mm-hmm. big issue. What it looks like is the secondary issue. Form-based right. code is flipped. We're more concerned with what it looks like than what the use is.
And I completely agree with going that direction. But I
so,
know
again...
Your outcry is going to be...
If we have... Again, but if you have, you know, if it looks good and stuff as you drive through... And really is concerned about, is that a mixed use or is it all residential or is it all mm-hmm. commercial? Is it all, mm-hmm. so, no, I haven't gone through and said, okay, I've got a 5-acre parcel, what can I do? Mm-hmm. I haven't done that, no.
Okay. It's really going to take a developer to, at some point,
yeah,
to say.
And I've given this to a developer to kind of look at.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Oh, I was going to go through it and see if I could come up with some figures.
But again, it
I hadn't yet.
The... Downtown is a lot different than Front Runner.
Yeah.
So, you know, the height requirements or limits and stuff is going to be a lot different.
And then there's some considerably tall buildings downtown, which I think is needed. But
yesterday, Steve and I and Jason and Claude were at Wasatch
Regional Council's
meeting. Okay, which we have, every 6 months or 3 months or whatever it is.
Whenever they want.
And basically they come in and they go, okay, here's what's going to happen in 2020, and then they come back the next meeting, this is going to happen in 2030, we're now up to 2050, I think was yesterday, right? So we're doing long-range planning.
But you won't be around for that.
That's correct. I'm not my job, okay? Yeah. But I do have children, so I'm...
All right.
But... One of the gentlemen brought up the fact that what they did with their area was that they had a lot of more community involvement, including one-on-one with people when they had problems. And I asked him how they went about doing that. And after some cross-examining questions, he came up and said that basically through social media, okay, through Facebook and whatnot. And all of you... Yes, I know Mrs. Moore's here. We're okay. And I'm going to recruit these two gentlemen also. Okay. How do we get out the word that we really want input from the people that we're going to affect so that instead of them showing up with pitchforks, they may come with flower bouquets or whatever?
We'll just have an itemized form for them when they show up to say, oh, we had this meeting at this date at this time, we put out this information, we had this flyer, we had this newsletter. I don't know how many times Ms. Morris posted on Facebook. Did you not see any of this stuff?
Okay. Well, a logical argument or an emotional question.
Currently, this document is not public.
Okay.
Until you guys say, schedule a public hearing, and then I will throw it out to the world, make sure Glenda posts it, you know, everything that she does, and get it out there.
So we would post this on our website, on the city website?
So, I mean, of course, Planning Commission always has first crack at it, so that's why we're talking about it.
Right.
We'll have a public hearing. And then my thought is I will give it to the city council and then have a work session on it 2 weeks later or something.
Okay.
And then have, they can schedule a public hearing or not. Or they have to, but when they want
when
to
they
do
want
that.
To. Okay. Does anybody have any ideas how we get more participation?
I mean, if you can figure that out.
Dinero, offer money and we'll come.
Yeah, no.
Coffee and bagels.
But we've had these meetings, and some of them we had some pretty good turnouts at the
we've
library.
Had,
but
yeah.
Considering the size
of the
board.
They're angry about what they think we're going to do.
Sure.
Okay.
Most people don't care. Most people don't care.
Just tell everyone
right?
we're putting
it. Until it affects them, they don't care.
Yeah.
So here's a perfect example is I'm driving down Midland Drive, which I grew up when Midland Drive was a dirt road. I used to be able to shoot ducks in the reservoir off of Midland Drive. Okay. Well, now there's a little tiny sign about this big right there that says future commercial development, possible mixed use.
Yes.
And unless I park,
where?
Right off 4800 South and Midland Drive.
Midland.
Right on Midland Drive. It's the old field behind the, now I forgot their names. Anyway,
the
right
pharmacy?
On Midland Drive.
Mm-hmm. Behind the pharmacy.
So 5,000 South turns into 4850 and hits Midland Drive.
Yep.
Okay, right where the canal is. There's a big field right
okay.
there.
Okay.
There's a little tiny sign that says future commercial use, possible mixed use. That's
wow.
Just, I had to pull the truck over
just
and get out
okay.
to go over and read it. Now, okay, two trains of thoughts here is I don't want a lot of people here because this is my business and this is how I make money is finding out about future deals and selling them to people. Okay, but at the same time, nobody's going to pull over and get out and stop unless they're of the mindset like me.
Oh, you're talking about a public notice sign, big blue one?
Yeah, public notice, same thing, you know, with what's going on 1900 or anywhere else,
yes.
Or Front Runner. If you had a billboard right there that said, hey, this is future, this is what's coming, you're going to raise more awareness that way because you've got people that are driving by it every single day that are impacted by it.
Right.
Okay.
You can do Facebook posting. Facebook's great. You can reach a ton
right.
of people. But unless people are following your Facebook page, nobody's going to see it. Unless people are going to your website, nobody's going to see it. So you'd actually have to run a sponsored ad on Facebook or Instagram.
And a newsletter.
Yeah, which is money that you're spending, okay, like she said, to narrow. And you would have to target people that live in Roy City in order to get it in front of them. Nobody reads the newspaper anymore.
Nope.
Okay, unless you're specifically looking for auction properties or foreclosure.
Okay.
So I think the best way to reach people that live in that area is by a big sign.
A large sign.
That says attention residents,
okay.
Here's what's
That's
going on. They're driving by it every single day. And the people that choose to ignore it, when it happens, is like, hey, we gave you.
Well, that's a good logical argument, but it isn't works in this environment. What happens is that we have our job to do the best planning that we
sure.
can, okay? But we are only a recommending body. And we get some people come with the pitchforks and the torches. But really when it gets hot politically is when it goes to the council.
Right.
And they start getting the phone calls. And I'm trying to dampen that down if we can do something up front. I think I like the idea of
bigger
signs. A bigger sign, okay? I like Facebook. I know that she does a great job of notifying people.
Is the
and
signage size regulated by the requirements of the ordinance?
No, it's cost.
by doing the sign up front, you're going to get a lot of
two by two sign is economically to do.
Well, you could even.
But in the defense of the city, mm-hmm. within 300 feet of that property, everybody's been notified by letter. Mm-hmm. So those people have been notified by a letter.
And you know what happens with those letters as well as I do.
Right. But I can, you know, I can only do so much.
Oh, you're exactly right.
Glenda helps me with posting it on Facebook. We put it on our page. It's on the website. There's a sign out there on the property. There's letters that, you know, at some point you just got to say, I don't know what else I can do.
Okay. I have a thought. I never see the water bill because I just got married to the guy who owns the house, right? It's his house. So I don't know if you have stuff like that in the water bill. Captive audience, they got to read what's there, right?
The sad part is by the time I get the notice, you submit an application to rezone the property 28 days before the Planning Commission meeting. The water bill was due 2 weeks ago.
I got you.
I can't get it in there.
Yeah. What about Roy City Connection? The mayor has a page on
again,
there.
Again, I got to have it in advance.
I'm trying here.
Yeah.
Strange. Yes.
Just announced that we're putting in a new car wash. And we're going to have a discussion about it.
Science gets really...
Yeah, exactly. And change it. Yeah.
Oh, my God, you change it.
And again, I have to describe what the project is.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, just...
I can't say car wash fake, sorry.
Well, we just do like the sign. New car wash coming soon. And then fine print, just kidding. This is coming. No. I mean, it works, right?
I thought one of our principles here was being transparent.
It is.
It's transparent.
It's on there. It's just saying, hey, look, there's a car wash.
Instead of public notice, just say car wash. Future car wash.
Coming soon, yeah.
I miss Warren's, but not the motel.
Yeah. You can say car wash at the local meeting.
Well, the guy that owned Warren's couldn't
come down. Well, I mean, we make the best efforts we can.
We didn't see that one.
That one completely bypassed funding.
Are you serious?
That was a land swap deal. It didn't hit us.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
The Warren's thing?
The Warren's one. Yeah. We approved the colors, but that's all
that
it is.
You approved the site plan.
Yeah, we did.
But we didn't say, oh, yeah, you can't come here.
No, because it was zoned properly and he allowed you to turn them down. Yeah. Besides that, they were the best organized
presentation we had. They were. I have to say again, it was made by their attorney, but okay.
But they pulled.
But he wasn't from Vegas.
Those people were.
No, it was.
The guy that owned Warren's said that they offered him so much for the money for the land.
Basically, where I heard it is from social media that it was coming down. I'm like, I have never heard anything from the Planning Commission that there was a car wash and Warren's is being torn down. I heard it from social media, not from here.
Yeah.
So it was a deal that was going on way before it came to us.
They had their ducks in a row. They didn't shoot them either.
No.
Yeah, it's on
1900 West next to CBS.
Well, it's like 5300.
Plus quick quack.
Next to the old Louis 50.
The quick quack car wash.
Okay.
And Luke. So,
whoa.
As you've gone through this, have you had questions other than what density would be?
Yeah.
Again, height is really the restrictions that I know of. Downtown is a lot, has the ability to have higher buildings than.
Yes, it does.
Than the Front Runner station. So.
Was there a required green space?
Yes.
Yeah.
I looked through it, but I didn't go word for word through.
Open space is what it's under.
Oh, the open space.
Chapter 6.
It's almost one of those
page 61
things that we're going to have to try it before we really know.
That's why I sent it to the developer today and said, okay, go through it, see what you guys can do.
See what the holes are.
8-9 acres, and then tell me what good, bad, and ugly, and indifferent is.
And I think getting feedback from developers would be a good thing, because we don't know their business.
Yeah.
You
know. Is the lady's name Samantha?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She mentioned something about when people come before the Planning Commission, and she said we should come up with a set list of things so they know what they're expecting, so we know what they're expecting.
Yes.
They don't just get up there and say, well, my yellow...
It goes out in an email.
Does it?
You're expected to do a presentation to the planning commission to describe your project. Please bring anything and everything in order to help that. And most get up and say, oh, Steve did such a great job. Let him talk about it.
Steve, will you bring that email to our next working meeting?
No.
Let us look at it. Yeah, I know. Okay. Because I know we do that, but maybe something a little more specific to them that we, you know.
Or
you know your job.
Unless you do
they
it.
Don't.
Or maybe send the email out to everybody so they can comment before the next meeting. I mean, at the next meeting.
Well, the email I'm asking about now is to for
right, I know it's
proponents.
For proponents.
For proponents, yeah.
If Steve would send the email out to you guys, then you could have it in advance to discuss it at the next meeting, which would get it accomplished faster. Mm-hmm. And I might be able to see it as well.
Oh, I see. Yeah. We have personal agendas here today.
No, I'm just kidding, but I just think it would be faster. If Steve could send it out to you folks, you could look at it, then it could be on the next session. Oops. Rather than a month later.
Okay. Well, a lot of the stuff is already included in our packet.
In our packet.
Anyway,
we get a packet from him.
But you can come by and give us a physical presentation.
What I'm saying, well, let's ask you.
Individual,
okay?
Sure.
See, we'll put you to work if you come here.
Let's do it.
You've been doing business for a while, but when you first come in here, do you know what you're supposed to do when you come to the planning commission?
No.
Okay, if you had a list that says, hey, bring a site plan, bring photographs, bring renditions, and we need an elevation, we need whatever, da-da-da-da, and be expected to talk to the commissioners and answer their questions, would that have been helpful to you in the beginning?
100%. Mm-hmm.
But also, that's what needs to be done is what for public comment periods, because a lot of people don't know what they're supposed to do during public comment.
That's correct.
Because we just say, hey, come up and talk to us, and like, they start asking questions, and we can't answer the questions until after, and Steve has to do it, but they just stand there not knowing what we're supposed to do, and then we look at each other like, we can't talk to you, and we all look like we're dummies, like we can't answer your question. But so it's almost before we start open a public hearing, we need to state how.
In addition to putting out our rules and regulations like you do every time, if we.
You know how many people pick that up? You know how many people pick that up?
I don't care. We get horse, water, drink. I mean, we do the best we can. Okay.
But I think even if it's something you said even right here, where we're saying it.
Are we talking about this, or are we on to the commissioner's minute?
Oh, that would be commissioner's minute, thanks.
Okay. Does anybody have any more on the form-based right now?
No.
I don't.
So we'll just bring it back as another discussion item?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Okay, we'll move on now to commissioner's minutes. And now I'm saying, if we gave the sheet out there and somebody walked in and says, this meeting is going to have a public hearing component, and at a public hearing, here is the steps that are taken, the proponent goes first, you go second, whatever it is, then I can know what I'm doing when I'm acting as a chair.
What he's saying is he needs that as chairman so that he needs to be reminded.
But if they had it, maybe that would, I mean, anything that we can do to, quote, educate or help them understand what we're doing makes our job easier.
Well, I think you need guidelines on both sides. You need guidelines for the developers, and you need guidelines
yes,
for the
public. Yes,
yeah,
I'm talking about
well.
Two different things.
Yeah.
Okay, we're still at the commissioner's minutes. Anybody else have anything they want to discuss at this point? There being nothing, we'll move to item number 7, staff update. Mr. Parkinson?
I'm still writing all your... Commissioner's seconds.
Why are we recording it if you have to write it all down? Go ahead.
Like I want to re-listen to this. I have to every once in a while when I forget who seconded the motion, but I don't. I mean, other than the form-based code, which you know we're working on, we're pretty much just waiting on the planning commission to go through it and. Make any changes or what have you, and then get it to the city council.
Okay. Do we have any kind of date for the general plan presentations?
Every time I talk to him, it's end of the month, and that was August, and now it's September. So
this is the consultants you're talking about, or who?
Yeah.
For them to come in and give us an update.
Well, at least give me a draft.
Well, the original one was, what, by the end of this year, and then they kept bumping it back, and then, oh, we can get to you this time.
So we still don't have a completed consultant, you don't have a completed consultant's report.
Yeah, I'd like to see.
General plan, no.
Okie dokie.
Nope.
So we probably ought to just make sure that we understand this plan and have it finished by next report session, and then present it to the city council.
Well, then we'll just have to schedule a public hearing so we can get that done, and then.
Try and understand.
And I might pressure you guys to do it quicker, so we might have a discussion item on the next agenda.
I'm okay with that, too. After we get through with our public meetings and public to go into a work session and do it. So, gentlemen, I think what you, and ladies, just said was that be prepared next meeting. Slave driver.
Well, the longer we take to put it on the books, the longer it takes before it's going to be implemented and everything. So the quicker we can get it out there and have developers look at it and start trying to come up with some plans for things.
Yeah, it just takes the first, and once one does it, then others will come in.
Okay. Well, I also think it'll work well because if the timing, if we already have it implemented by the time, you know, the defense contractors move in there, the, you know, phase two of Falcon Hill, and they're like, oh, look, they got this stuff already right here, because they've got lots, they have a little bit of money to spend, the defense contractors, so maybe they'll look at it.
Well, we've got to make it easy for them to come here. That's the point. Yeah. So
but you don't have to say you're moving. So.
Yeah. But it's still, I love Roy. So.
He grew up here, so okay. Before there was a duck pond and dirt road.
Before there was dirt.
Yeah. 5,600, 1,900 were the only two paved roads, you know.
Anything else? It was just a figment of someone's imagination.
Oh.
Anything else, Steve?
I don't have anything else. Unless you guys have questions on particular projects.
Not yet. I'll accept a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Hey.
Okay.
Passes. I just want it on the record.
You want it on the record.
Oh, oh Chris. Now you have to listen to the whole thing again.
All right. So 2 weeks when we have our next meeting, after our regular public type, we'll go into this work session meeting and discuss this some more. Okay, that's our homework. All
right. Great.
And thank you for letting us non-planning commissioners.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
Yeah, it's been forever.
Been a long time.
Yeah, that's school, I think.
Yeah, that's school. Pretty
it
much.
All comes down to him. He wants. Hey.
Taurus?
Don't leave.
Oh, no, he's just telling them to sign in for
leave. Hopefully they work.
I need to sign something for you.
Yeah, I'll pull it out and you can.
Okay. All right. I'm getting them to sign in because
they didn't sign in.
No, they didn't sign in when they came in.
So what good is it have instructions?
Especially as.
Horse water, you know, I mean, you do what you can do.
Especially a sign that says, please sign in. And that's just the minutes that were approved.
My mentor in the DA's office gave me a great piece of advice.
What?
He says, never underestimate how stupid a jury can be.
In this case, you just.
Just change it to general public.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm just flipping houses.
Okay.
Yesterday, like what happened? And I mean, when I grew up, we had Albertsons and Smiths, and we had Woolworths, and